The title of this morning's address is Faith Journey. This community is probably unique that most of the members here grew up in different faith traditions. We are people who are not afraid to question the consensus. Of course, questioning faith is not unique to Unitarians. Many members of mainstream Christian denominations questions the articles of their faith. Often, despite a lack of belief in their creed, they remain members of that church. And that's probably something that we wonder about. How do they stay in churches where they don't believe what is said? And I think they remain there because religion is not just about creeds. Community is important. And time spent in a sacred place nourishes the intuitive, spiritual parts of the human being. We do not require our members to hold specific beliefs. And we know there are members of this church who also attend Buddhist meditation services. There are people who sing in Christian churches. And we welcome people of all faiths and none. Atheists are welcome in our community. Our only touchstone is that we are required to respect other people's beliefs. Our watchwords are freedom, reason, and tolerance. They're the old ones. Now we know that we have to move beyond just tolerating people to welcoming diversity and differences. But often when someone finds this church, they hear them say, "Finding here was like coming home, finding my spiritual home." I think, though, Unitarians run a particular risk. And the risk is that having found a community of like-minded seekers, we see our spiritual journey as being completed. I think coming to this church is just a step on an authentic search for meaning in life. It's not the end of the journey, it is a step on the road. It is important that we ask questions. It is even more important that we consider answers and perhaps test out a fresh idea. Turning over ideas every Sunday really gets to a stage where it is not of value. We can consider the wisdom in the teachings of Jesus and in all faith traditions, but do we incorporate those nuggets of wisdom into how we live our lives? Does being here on Sundays change us? Does it make us live better? Does being a member here make us happy? I find the teaching of the Eastern philosophies, particularly of Hinduism and Buddhism, to be helpful when explaining the human condition. And when I speak of these traditions, I'm not telling you what Buddhism is about, because all faiths are wider than you can talk about in 10 or 15 minutes. But I do believe that when we understand human nature, we're more accepting of people and perhaps more willing to allow ourselves to change our lives and be changed. I grew up in a tradition that told me human nature was evil. Humanity needed to be redeemed by the sacrificial death of Jesus. And this negative view of the human condition means that I value elements of the Hindu tradition greatly. I appreciate how Hinduism accepts human nature without making a judgment about it. The ancient sages realized, they knew, that religion cannot be imposed. So they don't try and mould people and encourage them to be different, pull up your socks and do better. There's none of that. And it's not necessary to impose religion, because the Hindu sages know that at the heart, human nature is drawn to the power that we call God. That shorthand word, that's all it is. It knows that eventually every human will feel the call of the soul. And when the soul is ready, it begins its faith journey. That journey is also, and that idea of beginning a faith journey, is also echoed in the words of Augustine of Hippo, who was a Christian theologian. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O God." This is not an idea that's unique to Hinduism. Augustine of Hippo also said that the soul is called to God and eventually it gets there. So that's why there is no need to impose religion. We know, of course, Hinduism is based on the idea of reincarnation. And according to this, we don't live one life, but many, many lives. And the circumstances of our present life is determined by my behavior in my past lives. So where I am on my faith journey now is determined not only by my experiences in this life, but in past lives that at the moment I don't remember. But this, and all faiths again hold this in common, this present life is a golden opportunity to find God, and in finding God, to experience joy. Not as a reward, but that joy is felt in this life. And that joy, unlike other forms of happiness, is everlasting. Religion is not about the misery of sin. It is finding the joy when we live according to our true nature. And that, to me, puts things... It's just looking at the same thing in a different perspective. Religion is not denying yourself and making yourself miserable. It is about finding joy. The human sages understood human nature. They say that the soul wants happiness, happiness that is eternal. We live our lives pursuing happiness. And we will travel many paths in search of happiness. However, most of the roads we travel eventually turn out to be dead ends. When we're on our search for happiness, most of the roads, we travel down them and then we realize, this is not what I need, this is not what I want. The Hindu faith identifies four distinct stages in the development of the soul. And the first stage is called childhood, the idea that the soul is a child. This is where the individual is attracted to sense pleasures or physical pleasure. And as a child is attracted to colorful toys, the young soul is entranced with the pleasures of the world. And responding to those attractions is not wrong. As it's not wrong for a child to play with toys, so wanting pleasure for the senses is not wrong. We are simply told to behave ethically, to live ethically. Follow your pleasures, but do it ethically. But as a child eventually outgrows playing with toys, so too the soul realizes that sense pleasures don't bring lasting happiness. I think in economics it's called the law of diminishing returns. Eventually you get bored with everything. This is when the person moves into the second stage of the soul's development. In this second stage, the soul will seek happiness in wealth, fame, achievement, and power. Again, providing the behavior is ethical, there's nothing wrong with this attraction. It's simply a stage of life. The person at some point will realize that lasting happiness is not found in fame, achievement, wealth, or power. So the soul moves on to the third stage of its development. And this third stage of the soul journey is a very important one. This is the point when the soul, the person, looks beyond personal interests. It's not something, I want happiness, I want sense pleasures, I want money, I want fame. It looks beyond our own welfare to the welfare of wider humanity. And I think this is a noted feature for many Unitarians. Often we focus, the focus of our communities is making a positive contribution to society. This third point in the soul's journey is more rewarding. I believe that most of us are at this stage on our faith journey. Most of us are beyond being caught up in purely sense pleasures. We're not too bothered by fame or fortune. And we do feel genuine satisfaction when we contribute to the welfare of others without expecting a reward for it. And this does bring a deeper happiness. However, the Hindu sages say eventually we will realize that even this deeper happiness doesn't last forever. You still feel there's something missing. This is when we reach the final stage in the soul's journey. This is when we begin to search for God. This is the point when Unitarians are most likely to dig their heels in resisting. Reason and logic lock us in. We may find it difficult to commit to such a woolly idea as God. As in this morning's reading pointed out, we're not good when it comes to leaps of faith. We are even more uncomfortable with leaps of blind faith. The sages point out that eventually, perhaps in this life or another life, we will take this final step on our faith journey. In the meantime, we are called to live an ethical life. But we should, I think, Unitarians, keep an open mind about that God idea. Not the bogeyman God we learned of in childhood, but a more adult version of the sacred. The thing about the Hindus say, you see, we say, maybe we should keep an open mind, but they're telling us that if you don't make this final step, the alternative is to be born over and over and over again until you do. So maybe it's worth taking the risk. God is not the God of rules or pie in the sky when you die. They say God is joy. God is connection. God is the realization of our connection with every particle of the universe. We are not isolated beings. We are part of the creative power that initiated the universe. A faith journey is a journey that brings us from the isolation of the self to connection with all things. And when we feel that connection, we feel joy. So keep an open mind. Stay awake. As you live in the days ahead, notice the world around you. Notice how you're feeling from moment to moment. Be aware when you are alive to the world and other people and nature, you feel that connection. You don't feel isolated, you feel connected with the universe. And this is particularly useful to try that in the world of nature. Whereas Emerson said, when he did it, he felt he was part and parcel of God. Also, I think it might be useful to think about where you are on those four points of the journey. Are you still seeking pleasure, for sense pleasure? Are you still in pursuit of fame and fortune? Are you deeply committed to improving the welfare of others? Or are you beginning to feel the call of the soul seeking God? Amen.